And so we will be today in Matthew chapter 2, verses 1 through 12. Matthew chapter 2, verses 1 through 12. And in Matthew chapter 2 and verse 1, I'll go ahead and read our first verse. The Word of God says, "Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, 'Where is he that is born King of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him.'" So after Christmas, part one, tonight will be part two of this series. So we'll go ahead and go to the Lord in prayer and then we'll begin. Heavenly Father, thank you for letting us be in your house this morning. I do pray now that you forgive me for my sins. Please fill me with your Holy Spirit. I pray if anyone here does not know you as Savior, that you will convict them and save them today. I pray for all those who are sick. We pray for those who are traveling. We do pray that you would give us healing. And we ask it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. So the first thing we see is that wise men seek him in verses 1 and 2 of Matthew chapter 2. Wise men seek him. This all happened after the birth of Jesus. A lot of times we picture the wise men as being at the manger, but actually they came probably a year or two later and showed up when Jesus was at a house. And so the wise men seek him. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 2 and verse 1, "Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem." And the Life Application Study Bible says, "The wise men traveled thousands of miles to see the King of the Jews. When they finally found him, they responded with joy, worship, and gifts." This is so different from the approach people often take today. We expect God to come looking for us to explain himself, prove who he is, and give us gifts. But those who are wise still seek and worship Jesus today, not for what they can get, but for who he is. And so the wise men came to Jesus and they brought their gifts. They came looking for him. Now the Herod that is mentioned here, the Bible says, "Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king." And this was Herod the Great, famous Herod the Great, who was a great builder, but also was a very cruel man. David Guzik says, "Herod was not a Jew at all, but an Edomite, and Rome recognized him as a vassal king over Judea. The Jews tempered their great hatred of him with admiration for his building projects, such as the magnificent improvements made to the Second Temple. Motivated by his great paranoia and cruelty, he murdered the members of the Sanhedrin, his wife, his mother-in-law, and his three sons." So he was a violent man, killed his own family, killed members of the Sanhedrin, the Jewish religious leaders. "When Herod knew that his death was approaching, he had the most distinguished leaders of Jerusalem arrested on false charges. He ordered that as soon as he died, they should all be killed. He knew well no one would mourn his own death, so he was determined that some tears should be shed when he died." And so Herod was a disgustingly vile man who was a ruler, and naturally he's threatened by the birth of King Jesus. So it's interesting that you have King Herod and King Jesus, and the baby that was born in the manger was the greater king. And so the Bible says there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem. There's a song that sometimes we sing at Christmas, "We three kings of Orient are, bearing gifts, we traverse afar, field and fountain, moor and mountain, following yonder star." But in truth, we don't know if there were three or even if they were kings. We don't really know who these three magi were. They could have been scientists. A lot of people think they were astrologers before astrology. Of course, the astrology we have now is wicked, but at that time it was actually a science. And so they could have been scientists. They could have been rulers of some kind. The only reason we think that there were three is because they brought three gifts, but it's possible that there were many more than three, or that there were less. But they came and they said, "Where is he that is born King of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him." Now, these men were observers of the stars. And as I've said, astrology at one time was actually a science, not like it is today where it's mere superstition. But if you read in the probably the earliest book in the Bible, the book of Job, Job says of God, which maketh Arcturus, Orion, and Pleiades, and the chambers of the south. So he refers to constellations in the sky, and these constellations were important. In fact, there's been a whole writing, I believe it was by Bullinger, but it may have been by someone else, I can't remember at this point, but there's been a whole writing showing how the ancient constellations pointed to the birth of Jesus and later his crucifixion and resurrection. But these men observed the stars, and they also probably, they were from the east, and they very well could have been from Persia. Daniel, in the Old Testament, prophesied the birth of Jesus and his death and resurrection. Daniel was in charge of a group of magicians. And so it's very possible that Daniel, in his prophecies, and by the way, if you're really wanting to study the end times, study the book of Daniel in the Old Testament. A lot of people want to study Revelation in the New, but Revelation in the New Testament and Daniel in the Old Testament fit together very well, and they tell about the end times. So Daniel was in charge of this group of magicians, and it's possible that these magi were descendants of that group, and that therefore these men that came to visit Jesus, these scientists, had been taught by Daniel's prophecies to look for the time of the birth of the Messiah, and then they'd been taught to look to the stars, and they had seen this star, and so they come seeking the birth of Jesus. Again, we see a reference to the constellations in the book of Amos in the Old Testament. Amos 5:8 says, "Seek him that maketh the seven stars and Orion, and turneth the shadow of death in the morning, and maketh the day dark with night, that calleth for the waters of the sea, and poureth them out upon the face of the earth. The Lord is his name." And so these wise men who saw the star in the sky, this star that foretold the birth of Jesus, also were not just seeking a star, but they were seeking him who made the star, and thus they came to worship him. Now, the second thing we see is that the king wants to kill him. Not only did the wise men seek him, but the king wants to kill him in verses 3 through 8. The Bible says in verse 3, "When Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him." And I imagine they were, because this king was an evil man, and I assume when he was troubled, people got scared, and they thought, man, are we going to be killed? Because the king's upset. And so he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. "And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. And they said unto him, In Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, And thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, art not the least among the princes of Judah, for out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel." Of course, Herod sees this prophecy as a threat to his own kingdom, and he thought that he could stop this by killing Jesus Christ while he was a baby. This prophecy comes from the book of Micah. In the Old Testament, Micah 5:2 says, "But thou, Bethlehem Ephratah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come forth unto me, that is to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth have been from old, from everlasting." So we see a couple of things in this. First of all, the prophecy is very specific. It says Bethlehem Ephratah. Now, at the time that this was prophesied, there were two Bethlehems. And so the Bible is very specific in prophesying that the birth of Jesus would be in Bethlehem, Ephratah in Judea. And so it was a specific prophecy. It also shows that this baby who was born in the manger was not just a baby who had a birthday when he was born, but he also was the everlasting God. For the Bible says, "Thou Bethlehem Ephratah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come forth unto me that is to be ruler in Israel, whose going forth have been from old, from everlasting." So Jesus Christ's goings forth were from everlasting. He always has existed. And we studied that last week in John 1:1, where the Bible says, "In the beginning was the Word," which is a prophecy of Christ, the Logos, Christ. "In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God." So in the beginning of time, when time was created, the Word, Jesus Christ, already was, because He is from everlasting. But He became man when He was born as a little baby in Bethlehem on Christmas Day. The Bible says in Matthew 2:7, "Then Herod, when he had privily called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared." Now, Herod knew that Jesus would be born in Bethlehem, this king that was to compete against him, that was probably to overthrow him, he thought, would be born in Bethlehem. And now he wants to know from the wise men when the star appeared, because he wants to count the time between when the star appeared and when he thinks Christ has been born. And later on we'll read tonight that Herod directed all the children in Bethlehem that were 2 years old and younger to be killed. And that was because the wise men may have seen this star, and this all may have started 2 years prior. So he wanted to make sure that he got Jesus killed. Of course, that didn't happen. "And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, 'Go and search diligently for the young child, and when you have found him, bring me word again, that I may come and worship him also.'" Of course, that's a blatant lie. Herod's only intention is to kill Jesus. He didn't want to worship him. He wanted to get rid of him because he saw him as a competitor to his throne. So you have two kings. One is a little baby and a young child at this point, and the other is this powerful king that sits on a throne, and yet the greater king was King Jesus. And there's a competition today for who will sit on the throne in every person's life. And a lot of times, the natural man, we in ourselves want to get rid of Jesus. We don't want him on the throne of our lives because then we'd have to obey him. But indeed, King Jesus wants to sit on the throne of our lives. And so Herod was threatened by this coming king. Now the third thing we see, not only did wise men seek him and the king wanted to kill him, but the wise men meet Jesus in verses 9 through 12. And the first thing we see is that the star leads them in verses 9 through 10. "When they had heard the king, they departed, and lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was. And when they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy." So this star led them. But indeed, it wasn't a star just acting independently. It was God who was in control of this star that was making it shine its light where these wise men should go to find Jesus Christ. And indeed, God can lead us through circumstances. He can lead us through divine encounters. He can lead us through things in our lives. These wise men came to seek Jesus, and God led them, and it seemed like a natural occurrence of a star, but it was supernatural because God was in control of the star. And so God uses His providence, and He uses means to lead us. He uses the Word of God, He uses other Christians, and He uses the Holy Spirit inside of us, and He can use circumstances to lead us. And so God may be leading. Well, if you're saved, God certainly is leading you. Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life. They shall never perish. And so if we're saved, we are followers of Jesus in our hearts, even if we don't always obey him outwardly in our lives. So how is God leading you today? What does he want you to do? What does he want you to do this Christmas season and in this new year? God leads us and God can guide us. And sometimes things that happen to us that we think are very bad things and terrible things turn out to be God simply guiding us and putting us in a new direction or changing things in our lives, or God redirecting us in some way. And so God can use situations. And that night, God used a star in the sky to lead these wise men to the place where Jesus was. The second thing we see is that they worship him in verse 11. And when they were coming to the house, they saw the young child and Mary, his mother, and fell down and worshiped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. So they bring these gifts and they fall down and worship Jesus. And part of their worship was not just falling down before him, but was also bringing these special gifts with them. And one of the ways we worship God is through giving of our treasures. Jesus said, where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. And so we spend money on what's important to us. And so one of the things this Christmas season is giving to this Lottie Moon offering is an act of worship. It's an act of worship. And so when you give, it's not something that you need to do flippantly and just put down a number, but you need to pray and ask God what he would have you to do. And then do this as an act of worship before the Lord. And that's what the wise men did. Now, indeed, these treasures were significant. And one of the ways they were significant is that in that culture, when they were giving gifts to important people, they would often give some of these same things. In fact, if you go back to the book of Genesis, when Jacob wanted to send, when there was a famine in Israel and he'd send his sons to Egypt, and they were talking to Joseph, their brother, and they didn't realize it was Joseph. Jacob wanted to send gifts along with them. And one of the gifts he sent some spices and he sent myrrh. And so this was a thing. And of course, the wise men also brought gold, which is a symbol of royalty. Now, these gifts were important because in a practical way. We like to spiritualize these gifts, but they were very practical because Mary and Joseph were not rich people. They were poor people. And indeed, Joseph's not going to get much carpentry work right now. And the truth is that they have to flee. They're about to flee into Egypt because there are people seeking Jesus' life. So they became refugees. They became displaced persons. And so as they went to Egypt, one of the ways they would have had money to pay for things is by selling these gifts. So they had gold, frankincense, and myrrh, precious gifts indeed. And so we can learn from this that we can worship God, and we should worship him this Christmas season. And one of the ways that we worship him is in our giving. We give, there's lots of things we can give in the new year. We can give our time to God. Everybody here set aside time to come to church this morning. All right, now this is an act of worship. I'm worshiping too by preaching because I'm giving my time. The fact that this is part of my job is beside the point, because a lot of people do things from their work that are act of worship as well. But it's an act of worship for me to preach. It's an act of worship for you to come to church. And so you're giving your time. When you give your income, you give your tithes and your offerings, that's an act of worship. When we sing, that's an act of worship. And so we give these things to the Lord, and we should continue to serve God in the new year as an act of worship. Life Application Study Bible, again, I'll quote from it. It says, Jesus was probably 1 or 2 years old when the wise men found him. By this time, Mary and Joseph were married, living in a house and intending to stay in Bethlehem for a while. So that's where they found him. Now, in verse 12, we see that God warns them. God warns them. So the star leads them. They worship him. The wise men do. And now God warns them. And being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed into their own country another way. So God was protecting them. God warns them. And God gives us warnings too. And we would be wise to heed those warnings. The first way God warns us is through the Bible. As you read the Bible and as the Bible is preached, God warns us that we shouldn't do certain things. And he warns us that we shouldn't believe false doctrines and we shouldn't get caught up in certain things. One of the apparently popular false doctrines that's going around right now is that believers, when they die, don't go to heaven. Instead, they just sleep until they're resurrected. Now, that's been around for years. It's called soul sleep. It's taught by Seventh-day Adventist and some other groups. But I've seen a friend of mine recently that has been promoting this false doctrine. And he was saying, well, the church has lost this ancient doctrine, and this was the ancient belief of the church. People don't go to heaven. Heaven's here on earth. And people simply go to sleep, and then they are resurrected one day. And it's interesting that the Bible says to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. And Jesus said to the thief on the cross, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. And Paul said, I'm in a strait between two, wishing to depart and be with the Lord, which would be far better. And so apparently the Bible teaches that when we die, we either go to heaven if we're saved or we go to hell. We don't sleep. Sleeping in the Bible is used as a metaphor, and it expresses the fact that believers, instead of dying, that their bodies sleep while their soul and spirit go to heaven, and they're awaiting the resurrection of their body. But at any rate, we need to be warned from the Word of God about false doctrine, and we need to steer clear of it. We need to be warned about sinful things and steer clear of those things during this new year and this Christmas. And so, as we look at the Bible, just as God warned Mary and Joseph, don't go back to Herod. And sometimes God can warn you through circumstances and sometimes through people. Sometimes somebody will say to you, maybe you shouldn't do that. And it's a spiritual person, you might want to listen to what they say. Sometimes the Holy Spirit inside of you, well, the Holy Spirit leads us, so the Holy Spirit inside of you may say, stop, don't go there, don't do this. So we need to heed the warnings of God. And so ultimately in this new year and in this Christmas season, be led of God, be led of God, worship God, and then heed the warnings of God. These wise men came seeking Jesus, and they found him, but there was an evil king that wanted to kill him. And God, it's interesting, in closing, I'll just say this, it's interesting that God used this set of circumstances. God could have very easily just killed Herod, right? He could have just struck Herod dead and killed him. But instead he used practical things. He sent these wise men. He used providence, sent the wise men. They were warned. Then God sent a dream to warn Mary and Joseph. And so they don't return unto Herod's country. They don't go back to Judea. So it's kind of an interesting thing that God used these circumstances to protect them. And that's more like what God does with us. God leads us in these ways. And so this is a pattern for us, and it shows us how God leads and warns us. And so as we come to the close of this morning's message. Perhaps there's something that God is leading you to do. Maybe as an act of worship, there's maybe God's leading you to give to this Lottie Moon offering as an act of worship, and maybe God is warning you about something that you need to turn from. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, I thank you for these thy people. I thank you for the work that you're doing in this place. I do pray that you'll bless us for the rest of the day. Help us to serve you and to follow you. And I pray you'd bring us back safely tonight. And I do pray that you would just help us to worship you in this new year. We thank you for the message of Christmas and for the story of these wise men who sought Jesus. We pray that we'll seek him today.